An ultimatum has been, good morning by the way, an ultimatum has been issued by Sinn Féin to the whole of the country in terms of a government here. There will not be a government if there is not an Irish Language Act. There is no room for manoeuvre. There is no wriggle room. There is no negotiation. That's it. So where does that leave everyone else in Northern Ireland, all of the other political parties, and as I said a moment ago, in particular, the biggest unionist party in Northern Ireland, the Democratic Unionist Party? How are they going to react to that ultimatum? Are they going to try to reach out? Are they going to buckle in terms of their policy? Because remember, the DUP's Arlene Foster said just a few months ago, there will not be an Irish Language Act under her watch. So this is very much a standoff now. Is devolution dead as we know it? Let's remind ourselves what Gerry Adams said, the Sinn Féin president, in terms of his position on an Irish Language Act.
We want to transform politics on this island. We have no ambition whatsoever to be part of the system. Our ambition is to change it. And that means we must be in government north and south. There will be no return to the Assembly or the Executive without a standalone Irish Language Act and agreement on the resolution of other outstanding issues.
Well, let's get the response from the TV leader, Jim Allister, this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So there it is. There is no negotiation, Jim.
Yes, what we've just heard is undisguised blackmail from Mr. Adams, which is quite shocking in itself. But equally shocking is the fact that the system allows that. And, of course, what this points up is the utter folly of the DUP and anyone else forever thinking that they could make a success of mandatory coalition, because mandatory coalition creates these circumstances where one party can issue ultimatums such as this, knowing there can be no government without them. And that is the folly of having gone down the road of mandatory coalition instead of that of voluntary coalition, where government could be formed by those who want to make the place work and those who can agree what they're going to do about it. But you cannot do that under the Belfast Agreement and under the 1998 Act. And Sinn Féin know that, and that's why they're flexing their muscle in this, because their culture war is very important to them, and secondly, because really, in truth, they have no interest in making Northern Ireland work.
Well, you call it a culture war, of course. They would say it's about rights, and it's about the rights of the people they represent.
The people, anyone who speaks Irish in Northern Ireland, most probably, almost certainly, equally, speaks English. They are not denied.
That's not the point.
But the point is this. The Irish language is already heavily fated in Northern Ireland. Since 2007, we spent £177 million of taxpayers' money on it. It's got its own special education system with unique provision to make it work, where you can form a primary school with as little as 12 pupils. You can't do that in an English-speaking primary school. It's got its own special cross-border body with executive powers to promote it. It has got multiple rights, all in that regard. And yet, we have this insistent demand for more. Why? Because there is an ambition through the Irish Language Act to finally hollow out the Britishness of Northern Ireland, to make sure that...
Well, now, how would an Irish Language Act, because English is not going to be banned, is it? It's not going to be eroded in any way. So how is this hollowing out Britishness?
Well, we know how it is from the Sinn Féin proposals, which we have from 2015, when the then Culture Minister made a proposal and a consultation about it. And let's quickly go through some of those things.
This is Carol McCullen you're talking about, is it?
Sorry?
This is Carol McCullen's proposals you're talking about, is it? So just on that, just so that everyone knows. So Carol McCullen has been on social media, on Twitter, while we've been talking about this over recent days on the programme, been saying that the Sinn Féin proposals, that the proposals that she put forward, that she published them as part of a public consultation in 2015, that they're in the public domain. So what we've been saying to Sinn Féin since yesterday's programme is to confirm whether that is Sinn Féin's current policy on Irish language, whether that is what they want. Now, what they're still telling us, essentially 24 hours later, is that they're going to issue us with a statement today. So let's see what that statement says. Is it their policy or not?
I think it's a reasonable starting point to assume that when a Sinn Féin minister, as that was 2 years ago, publishes detailed proposals, that is a reflection of what they want. And what did they want? They wanted Irish to be an official language in Northern Ireland on a par with English. They wanted the right to have court proceedings conducted in Irish, to the very point that if someone said in a civil proceeding suing the government, I want to speak in Irish, then the whole court had to be conducted in Irish. The government lawyers as well had to engage in Irish. Such was the extent of this. They want road signs to have the Irish content on a par with English. They want an Irish language enforcer, a commissioner, to advance the language, to be able to interfere with public and quasi-public bodies, and to create a new criminal offence that if you don't cooperate with them in the promotion of Irish, then you can be hauled before the courts. It is so draconian, it is unbelievable. And it is utterly promoting a political divisive agenda rather than anything that's necessary.
What's wrong with anything that you've just said there? What's wrong with someone who sees Irish language as their first language? What's wrong with them saying, look, I want my court proceeding to be conducted in the language that I view as my first language? What's wrong with that?
Well, let's consider that just the courts for a moment. Here you have this idea that someone who can perfectly well speak English lands in the court, says, I'm suing the government and I want this court conducted in Irish, and everyone kowtows and says, yes, sir. The lawyers then have to speak Irish. So where do you get these Irish-speaking lawyers? You certainly don't get too many from the unionist community. Where do you get the Irish-speaking administrators? You certainly don't get too many from the unionist community. And that's why also in that Sinn Féin proposal was a demand for affirmative action in favour of Irish speakers in recruitment.
Well, the leader of the biggest unionist party in Northern Ireland, the DUP, Arlene Foster, in other words, is saying there's nothing to fear from the Irish language.
Well, I've given, I think, very sound reasons why we should fear an Irish Language Act, which would ram down
she doesn't
all
fear
our throats. Ram down all our throats, that aggressive promotion of Irish, pretty similar to what De Valera did in the Irish Republic, and in consequence drove many...
Arlene Foster doesn't fear it.
Well, Arlene Foster should fear an Irish Language Act.
She doesn't... No, there's the distinction. She didn't say... Her current position, because she's not rolled back from it, she said there will never be an Irish Language Act under her watch. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the meaning of what she said. She's also saying that she doesn't fear Irish language.
Well, two things about that. First of all, she did say there will never be an Irish Language Act, which was good. But then she has watered that down to the point of suggesting it could be dovetailed into some sort of cultural act which would deal with wider things. Let me be very clear. Ulster Scots is not some fig leaf to get by an Irish Language Act. As to whether or not one should fear Irish, one shouldn't fear Irish as a language. But when it is weaponized by Sinn Féin, then one fears the implementation. And to remind you, it was Sinn Féin that coined the chilling suggestion that every word spoken in Irish was another bullet fired in the freedom struggle. And they have twinned, and back in the 1980s, they very overtly twinned their war, culture war and their terrorism war. As part of the same, and we know...
Well, Sinn Féin don't have any terrorism war, do they? Sinn Féin is a political party.
Sinn Féin is a political party which is the product of its IRA, which most certainly did wage a very vicious terrorist war. And even the IRA Green Book opposed the need to promote the Gaelic language as part of their struggle. So the genesis of this is very clear. The purpose is very clear. And yet it is utterly unnecessary because we have adequate provision, indeed over-provision, I would say, for the Irish language already in Northern Ireland.
Well, you know the DUP well. How do you expect them to respond to this?
Well, unless they've totally lost their moral compass and are prepared to roll over, then there can only be one response, and it can be a robust, relentless rejection of the blackmail of Adam, and a realisation that this system of government...
Well, that will mean no Stormont.
Well, would we really miss it? You know, no Stormont. Has Stormont been working? My goodness, it's been lurching from one crisis to the next. But the fundamental political lesson I want to come back to is this, that it is the system of Stormont that has created its own downfall, that has made this possible for Adams to get on his high horse and demand an ultimatum about an Irish Language Act, because he knows the system doesn't allow government.
But of course, we saw what the DUP proposals were over recent days, and that is, let's get the executive back up and running again, and let's talk about Irish language while the executive is up and running again, and have a finite point beyond which everything collapses if they don't reach an agreement around Irish language. So that's the DUP trying to find compromise with their partners in government.
That's the DUP trying to stick back together again, that which has failed multiple times, closing their eyes to the fact that this system of government will never work because it insists at its heart.
Well, it won't work if we listen to doomsday merchants like you.
Well, it won't work if we listen to a system which puts at its heart a party that doesn't want Northern Ireland to work. And that, of course, is the fundamental reason
Sinn Féin would reject that.
Sinn Féin is not there to make Northern Ireland work. Quite the opposite. You can't make a success of Northern Ireland and then say you needed a united Ireland. So it's pittantly obvious that Sinn Féin is not there.
You don't want mandatory coalition to work, of course.
I don't want it to work, and it isn't working. And it's because we have mandatory coalition that Adams can make these outrageous demands, knowing there can be no government without him. That's why if we're to have devolution, it has to be devolution of a voluntary nature, whereby those who are willing to govern, govern, and those who are making insatiable, unreasonable demands form the opposition.
I think what your contribution today has done is it makes my point for me even better of what I was saying yesterday, which is we need clarification from Sinn Féin as to whether these, because you're referring to the proposals that Carol Na Cullen has set out when she published the proposals as part of a public consultation in 2015 around an Irish Language Act. So what we need is we need clarification from Sinn Féin, because this is what you're relying on. This is what you're referring to as to what Sinn Féin probably want. So we need clarification from Sinn Féin. Is this what they want? This has gone well beyond, we can't tell the public, hasn't it? We can't tell the public what's in it, because how on earth can we all have a conversation about this if Carol Na Cullen, who is Sinn Féin's former culture minister, is at this present time referring to these proposals, and we don't know if these proposals represent Sinn Féin's policy as to what they want. If it's up in the air, why would Carol Na Cullen be referring to them?
I agree with all of that. But, of course, it maybe suits those who are trying to push the agenda of an Irish Language Act to keep it vague so that they can bring along the useful idiots who say, oh, yes, let's have an Irish Language Act, not pausing to think what it means, not pausing to think that it means discrimination against non-Irish speakers in the civil service, affirmative...
That's already been ruled out.
Irish speakers. Well, sorry, that's what's in Carol Na Cullen's proposals, affirmative action in favour of Irish speakers in recruitment to the civil service and other public bodies. Road signs to have Irish content on a par with English. Irish to be an official language on a par with English. The right to have court proceedings conducted in Irish. All legislation, all assembly business, right to conduct it in Irish. And, of course, think of the massive translation and financial costs. And one of the most striking things that Carol Na Cullen's proposals in 2015 was that she had a consultation on them, but the consultation document didn't even attempt to cost them. Why? Because these are interminable costs that would run away with themselves.